Alrighty then, welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And we are here, and Tim, you are there.
I am there.
There you go, wherever that is. It's off into the ether somewhere, and this is the wonder. Imagine doing this 20 years ago or trying to figure this out 20 years ago. I mean,
you have a hard time trying to figure it out today, let alone 20 years ago.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
No, I can't imagine it.
That's what I'm talking about. However, talking about calling the kettle black. Well, anyway, we've got an interesting program tonight. I want to get started first by picking Tim's brain here in a second. We will be talking with the Rockport High School Director of Athletics, John Parisi. Checking in with Fernando Braz, the track coach, but much more than that, just a Peabody track legend for Peabody High School. We'll also be talking with Gary Larrabee. He's kind enough to talk with us again this week. He's a golf writer, sports historian. Then we're going to check in with Nick Kukru and the Times, the Gloucester Times, like the Salem News, has been doing a retrospective on high school athletics, and we'll see what Nick wants to talk about, where he has gone with that stuff, because it's been quite a series. But first, Tim, you said, now, Bill Newell has been working with the Salem News Sports Department boys and doing podcasts, and we generally have one podcast a week here that we share with both the Salem News and, of course, MSO News Sports. But you say there's one out there right now that we don't have yet?
Well, I was rummaging through the papers today online, and I'm trying to find it now on the Salem News, but there was an amazing picture of the staff at the Salem News, and it included one of Bill Newell, who I did not recognize right off the bat because he looked like Father Christmas.
I think he rather looks like a distinguished scientist, it looks to me, like, you know, or maybe one of those historians, you know, who kind of stroke their beard as they talk, and very, very distinguished and, you know, very academic.
Well, I think he looks more like the guy who lived the history rather than is talking about the history.
Oh, you say that behind his back. That's very interesting.
If I could, I would say it to his face, too.
Well,
but he's not here, so I have to say it anyway.
Well, good luck with that, because you don't usually fare too well against Bill on these things.
No, I don't. It all comes back to haunt me. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Well, anyway, Tim, how are you doing? How are things in the great city of Beverly?
Well, we're doing fine. It is buzzing. I venture out to go to the store. The number of people that are walking around without face masks, or gloves, and with no seemingly concern for the other people around them, and I try to keep even further distance away from those people than those that have followed the guidelines and are wearing a mask and are wearing gloves if they're going into some kind of a store. And, you know, for those people, they get sick. Please don't bother me with your cries for, oh, please feel bad for me, or why isn't somebody taking care of me? Because they did offer you the advice to take care of yourself, and you chose to ignore it. Still suffer the consequences. Kind of cold-hearted, I know, but, you know, stupid is as stupid does.
Well,
and if you're not going to follow the guidelines, you know, then don't be surprised if you come down sick. Consider yourself lucky if you don't through the course of this virus. Massachusetts numbers are still going up. There's no decline in the numbers and the number of cases and the number of people that are dying from this. So, you know, how can people really be so stupid and to put them, not only themselves, but other people in danger and in harm's way? You know, if they don't care about yourself, fine. Walk around without a mask and without gloves, but stay away from people. Don't go into public places. Just go away or go into the woods. Good Lord.
Well, I started by asking how were things in the Garden City, but now I'll amend that. And are you saying that people go into stores without covering their faces?
Yes.
Oh, that's not right.
I was at a Market Basket today, and I went to New Hampshire because the line in the local one I go to was halfway across the shopping center it was located in, and it was an end store. And so I went up to Seabrook, and again, there were people standing in line. And the sign that says, please, no smoking in line. There's a woman smoking cigarettes, you know, with no mask on, no gloves. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe par for the course. I don't know. But maybe a third of the people in line had no protection on whatsoever. And you're like, really?
I haven't seen that around here. What I do see when people are out walking, such as I am, I do not wear a face covering when I'm out walking. But I also don't get within 10 feet of anyone. But as soon as I go into building, I put the face covering on. I do not have gloves, so I don't wear gloves inside. But I carry hand sanitizer with me. I use it before I go into an establishment, and I use it as soon as I come out of an establishment. But I've noticed the protocol, at least on Cape Ann, has been definitely worked. It has worked. People are adhering to the protocol, and it's in fact quite to the extreme. You see people walking along the boulevard in Gloucester, and they're observing the social distancing, but they're also wearing face coverings. And so, You know, it's to me, it is heartening that people are doing this. It's disheartening that this thing is so scary and it continues. But you know,
well, you know what? You know, you read the newspaper. The governor of Florida has opened up the beaches. He has opened up hair salons that they can open up again, and the numbers in Florida are going up every day.
Yeah, well, you know? As you said, stupid is. So you know, and the thing is, when you've got an insurrectionist at the head of the federal government pleading for states to uprise against the government, it's just crazy. And people, you know, there are some crazies who just say, yeah, my civil rights are being trampled, down with the government. Well, oh, okay, whatever. It's very...
And like I said, when you get sick and when you die and you're crying out, why aren't they taking care of me? Well, we tried to. You just didn't want to listen. So, you know, suffer the consequences.
Yeah, well, that's too bad. At any rate, we will be talking...
They'll be the loudest gripers.
We will be talking with John Parisi in just a minute to see how things are going at Rockport High School. Last week we talked to some kids, and, you know, it's very much up in the air. The Gloucester so-called vacation week this week, which would have started today, has been canceled, so kids are still doing distance learning. And, of course, today is Marathon Monday, and I do want to talk a little bit about 2013 and the experience there. But here we are 7 years later. And I remember that Boston closed down that week on Thursday, I believe it was, to look for the Carson Kasparov brothers, or whatever they're called. And, you know, that was the first, for one day, the streets of Boston looked like they have now for a month. And I guess that was sort of a practice run for us. But people have been reminiscing about the Boston Marathon. No one's running the marathon today. It's been postponed till September. But still, that is fresh in people's memories, Tim, even though it was 7 years ago now.
Yeah, you know, and they asked people, please do not run the marathon route. And again, I was looking into the Boston Globe to see what was happening in the sports page. And there was one idiot who ran the entire route. You know, they just can't stay away. They you know, there always has to be one. And again, you know, they'll get sick, and then they'll complain, and they'll demand to be taken care of. And sorry, not in a hurry. You know, on my priority list.
I saw one poster on Facebook, and this will be my last political comment of the day. And it's attributed to Dwight Eisenhower, and I will paraphrase. And basically, it said, you know, being a leader is easy. All you have to do is take responsibility for everything that goes wrong, and give credit to your subordinates for everything that goes right.
Well, that's not a section of Eisenhower's book that the orange-haired wonder ever read. In fact, if he's ever read a book other than his own autobiography, and you know, Harry Truman said, "All right, the buck stops here." Well, the only buck that, and Trump has that same saying on his death, except the word buck has been erased and a dollar sign has taken its place.
What did Cuomo say? The buck stops without him passing the bucks. But, yeah. You know, the thing is I remember telling my kids in school, whenever a kid did well, every now and then, and it was rare, but every now and then a kid would compliment me or a parent would compliment me, and I always, and I believe this to my core, nope, it's the kid who did it. It's the kid who did well, the kid who understood it. Now, if the kid didn't do well, okay, yeah, I screwed up, I didn't get through to him. And I've always believed that, and that's not a revelation. I think most teachers believe that.
Oh, certainly do. You know, I taught the AP U.S. History at Gloucester for 19 years, and whenever I told people about, you know, the results that each class had achieved, they go, wow, you must be a really good teacher. I said, no, I said, I've had great kids who yep. put in the work, who applied themselves, and they allowed me to guide them to their success, but they're the ones who made the effort. Amen. You always, always pass that along to those who did the work.
All righty, Coach.
And unfortunately, Trump doesn't know how to do that, and it's unfortunate. You know, just a real quick aside. You know, he made it a big thing about Union of Bounty being one of his favorite movies and all this, and we made a comment on the social studies thread the other day, and I said, well, you know, Captain Bligh, when he was set adrift with some loyal crew members, had enough leadership and skill to guide his men to a safe landing 4,000 miles away. I said, Trump neither has the skills or the ability to do anything like that and lead in this kind of a situation.
All right, the opinions expressed here on this program are neither that of mine or the MSA. You get the idea. All right, Coach. All right,
they are mine, and I own them.
There you go. We'll be back with John Parisi in just a second. Stay with us. We're going to get to sports, I promise you.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Drink and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Looking to score big on your savings this season? Open a CD savings or money market account at Institution for Savings. This is the perfect time to earn funds for your future, and our rates are among the best. Stop by one of our offices in Amesbury, Beverly, Boxford, Gloucester, Hamilton, Ipswich, Middleton, Newburyport, Rockport, Rowley, Salem, Salisbury, and Topsfield. Or visit us online at institutionforsavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF. North Shore Today is MSO News Sports daily local news podcast with news from all around the North Shore. The Post also shares a note on the weather, local photos, notices, and our video of the day. Check it out daily, North Shore Today.
All right, we're back now with the Rockport Athletic Director, John Parisi. And Coach, how are you? Well, it's good to have you back. It's a very, obviously, a very strange time this time, and I remember I was a freshman in high school when I went back from Germany during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and that asking you a little bit here about skip over winter athletics for now and get right into spring sports. What is the status of the teams at this point, John, and what have you talked about with your coaches in general? And then maybe we can talk a little bit about what the plans are for the kids, for the seniors and all that. But in terms of spring sports, what is the status at this moment?
Well, fingers crossed. Been meeting with the athletic directors through Zoom talks weekly for the last month or so, and we're holding on. We've created a schedule that'll happen if we start school on May 4th, like everybody that we're hoping for. But we spring, and we'll be ready to roll. And Bradley, MIA still has a state tournament planned.
Go ahead, Tim.
You know, John, we talked to Brian LaFader last week, and Brian is relatively new. This is the tail end of his second year. You're new into this position, though you've been a coach, and you know you've been in the athletic department for a long time. But again, sitting in that chair, this scenario is not one that you or Brian ever thought would come about. this early or maybe at all ever in your career?
No, absolutely not, Tim. As you know, we coached against each other years ago, and this is my 24th season of coaching, and nothing even compares to this. Even the monster snowstorms, it's just such a unique thing that it's just heartbreaking, in my opinion, for seniors. And, you know, college seniors experienced it, and now high school seniors are experiencing it. And, again, fingers crossed, things work out and we get the season going, but you never know. School could be called off in a few days. You never know.
Coach,
I mentioned last week to not only feeling bad for the seniors, but for the juniors, this is a really critical year because this is where a lot of them really show up on the radar to a lot of college recruiters, college coaches, even professional sports like baseball with a draft early. It's really the junior year that a kid really lights up and gets on their map that they're going to start considering them for either a college scholarship or a possible drafting position. So for the juniors to lose out on this year is going to be hard for them to make up as well.
Yeah, and think about it. The kids that don't play AAU baseball or don't play, you know, in the summer, maybe it's their second or third sport that they focus on, they're going to be 2 years out in a sport, Cape Ann League, Northeast Conference, baseball, softball. It's not easy to do to hit a baseball, especially even waiting 9 months, but now waiting over 18. And the same thing, you're absolutely right. The exposure that they get their junior year, looking forward to colleges, they start to search over the summer, you know, and get on the radar of some teams, and it's going to be a really interesting situation.
John, what's the conversation, what have the conversations been like with your kids in particular, the baseball kids and maybe their parents? I know that we talked with Brian last week, and some of the, I guess almost all of the athletic directors are guiding their coaches and the kids online now with sports specific exercises and so on, but you know that everybody can take part in drills and that kind of thing online. So what's it been like for you and the baseball players in particular? What's been the message back and forth?
Well, the last TMC meeting that the MIA had, that they approved that coaches could actually start to interact with kids too, not hands-on, but you could go through games and go virtually through games and mentally experience at-bats, mm-hmm. and plays in the field. So I started to get on the kids a little bit about that, and in Zoom meetings with them and just go over things, double play situations, just different mental sides of the game, mental ways to prepare for the game. We were supposed to open up a week or so ago, and I told them to go through every at-bat that they possibly could have had, experience yourself turning an unassisted double play or, tagging up and scoring the winning run. Just going mentally through that stuff is better than not doing anything, And then on the other side of it is the physical side. They don't have a whole lot of equipment at home, but they can field ground balls off the side of their house. They can do bare hand drills. They can do body weight exercises, and that's what we have them doing.
Mm-hmm.
I know Brian's got a lot of virtual workouts, online workouts and stuff with them. My kids didn't really have a whole lot of interest in that. We're a lot smaller, so.
That's
where we stand now.
I remember playing wall ball with baseball when I was probably in the, 6th, 7th, 8th grade when there was no baseball in season. And you're right, the games that you could do mentally with that, and you go through the lineups and you set up situations. John, the thing I was thinking of, and Tim, maybe you can chip in on this too as well, is there an opportunity here for kids to read about sports? Is that something that's worthwhile at this time? Because I know when I was a kid, I did not have access to television. I was an Army brat in Germany, and I read everything, Sport Magazine, Sports Illustrated, the Sporting News, Baseball Digest. Is there an opportunity here for kids to maybe pick up some of that stuff?
I would think so, being a baseball junkie and having the library of books and videos and stuff that I have. I think there's so much of that out there for them. Now, whether they were prepared when this all happened and had that little library built up, or they've ordered them on Amazon, even if not, YouTube is such a great thing. They can go on there and see all kinds of infield drills. They can see all the, they can type in situations and it will show double cutoffs to the gap in left center. It, you know, anything like that they can do if they're willing to, you know, to work on the mental side of the game. And I did send a couple of the new rule books home with the kids, and they've been sending back their interpretations on different rules because, you know, the rules were going to change a little bit this year with, you know, pitch counts and you could use, what's it called, runners for catchers and stuff like that. It's kind of a different situation this year.
Yeah, you know, Rick, you mentioned wall. We used to play outs when I was a kid. We used to hit the ball off the neighbor's brick steps. And and again, you set up scenarios, ground balls, doubles, triples, home runs, depending on how far the ball went. We used to play mound of the out. When, you know, now you can't do it because you can't have a large group. But we had 10 guys, and we split it 5-on-5. And you'd call a left side or the right side of the field, and you play with invisible men. And I'm not, yep. You know, I'm not sure the kids today are as creative as we were because we didn't have all the high tech stuff that they have now. So we had to go out and create those games. And you know, even playing out, you had no runners, so you had run first. Now you had two men on, and you were doing much more visualization. Now they see it all, but we had to do the visualization. And I think for us back then, that made us better ball players, John.
Absolutely. Just throwing the ball off the roof, like you just said. Kids don't go do that anymore. Nope. They need everything handed to them. Everything has to be organized. You know, yeah. Instead of throwing the ball off the wall and fielding it with one hand and working on, you know, I remember sitting on my couch and just working exchanges, getting the ball in and out of my glove as quick as I can. You know, little things like that.
No glove, putting your hands down in front of you and tossing the ball back and forth between your left and right hand as quick as you could. Just to gain control of the ball. How fast can you move that ball, transition from hand to hand? Something, I guess,
Absolutely. Kids
don't do it. Simple. You don't need anybody to do it for you. But it's something that, again, they don't do that. We used to do all the time.
Well, John,
things weren't handed to us like they are now, you know?
Oh, no. And, John, how many times did your parents come out and tell you, stop bouncing the ball off the roof?
How many times did they ask my dad to get the ball out of the gutter?
Yeah.
How many window panes did you guys break? Excuse me. Yeah. How many windshields did you break?
Absolutely.
we used to have to go to the store every time we played. We played outs off of the walls and front steps because Mrs. Zyko, who lived across the street, when the ball went up on her second floor porch, would not give them back. So down to the store, we went and bought another one.
John. What is the situation at Rockport High School now with respect to senior activities? I mean, we know that MCAS has been canceled, AP exams have been canceled. In terms of senior activities, is the high school still trying to go forward with that? Is that still part of the plan, do you know?
Yes, nothing has been canceled to this point. If the governor says we start school on May 4th, everything after May 4th is still locked in, and we're not going to change anything in terms of graduation, senior weeks, and all of that stuff. It's locked in. Now, if he comes back and says two more weeks, then I think it'll be a different story.
Well, what are you looking to with respect to your team? What are we looking forward to here with guys coming back and maybe who will be your leaders should you get back on the field?
I got a good group of seniors, really, really good kids, a bunch of multi-sport athletes, Adam Ramston, Cal Twombly, Nick Costa, my tri-captains, have been in the program since they were freshmen. They were part of that team we had back in 2015 that went deep into the tournament, eventually losing to Manchester. And then I got a really good group of juniors and some talented sophomores. So this was going to be one of my deeper teams this year. Losing those, if we don't come back, it's a pretty good reload coming back. But I really wanted to work with these guys, and, you know, each group's a little bit special for you, you know, as a coach.
And across the board, you did have a good winter sports season. You've got a lot of multi-sport athletes. So maybe just a quick comment on how winter sports are and how that would project into spring.
Yeah, the ice hockey team really took a turn this year. Kyle Nelson took over that program. He's a 23-year-old, just graduating from college. Really infused a bunch of energy into that program. Did a really nice job for us. The basketball team struggled at times, but they got better all year long. They didn't have any seniors on the team. But they have a really good group coming back. They'll have a bunch of seniors next year and talented juniors also. Girls basketball had a nice little run this year. They went deep into the tournament, hosted a game this year. And as you know, the fall we had a real good season too. Boys soccer lost in the North Final. Golf team did very well also.
Yeah, I don't know how Curly does it. That's unbelievable. Just he keeps going.
Yep.
John, anything John, else? Go ahead, Tim.
John, I have to say one thing. Every year we ask you, we talk to you about what your team looks like, and I got a really good group of seniors. And my first thought when you said it this year was, my God, he sounds like Roger Dick. A really good group of seniors coming back this year. Yes, you always got a really good group of seniors coming back this year, and they take your team down the road to a very successful season. Okay. I finally caught on to you. It took me a long time. It took me 20 years, but I caught on.
Well, if you mention my name and Roger Days in the same sentence, then I'm feeling good about myself.
You got that right. That's a hell of a compliment. And Jeff Proposky got Evans Field all set?
Jeff's still been working up there. He doesn't, you know, he's a machine. He's great. he's really hurting. There's no sport.
Oh, I know. Hey, John, listen, thanks for taking the time. We'll check in with you later on. And in the meantime, you and your family be safe. And, you know, thanks for talking with us tonight, Coach.
All right, Rick and Tim, thank you. Take care of your family as well, too.
Take care, John. Bye-bye.
All right.
That is Rockport Director of Athletics John Parisi. We are going to take a break, come back with Gary Larrabee, and then we'll be checking in with Fernando Braz, as Bill Noel will be talking with him. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back. This is Connections here on this Monday night. It's not Connections. It's North Shore Sports Night. Connections tomorrow morning, 10 a.m.
MSO News Sports is a unique multimedia website providing exclusive news and sports content for the North Shore. Our goal is to keep you connected to your local neighbors throughout Essex County and beyond. We feature the best of the North Shore, and we couldn't provide this service without the powerful support of our local sponsors, like Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury, the Bradford Tavern in Rowley. Just like us, they care about the North Shore. Check out all of our podcasts and share our website with your friends. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Again, we are your connection to the best of the North Shore. msonewsports.com.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com.
All right, we're back now, and we're joined by Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer. Hi, Gary. How are you?
I'm doing well, Rick. How about you?
I'm doing well. Tim, you there?
I'm still here, Rick.
And you're doing well as well?
That's what they tell me.
There we go. Gary, I want to start by just mentioning I saw an article on the Newburyport Daily News today that's saying the golf courses are ready to go. They're chomping at the bit, but they're not open yet. And that has to be a little frustrating. But, of course, everybody's frustrated by something these days.
Yeah, it's a painful waiting game at this point, Rick, because the governor's edict has all golf courses and golf facilities closed still until May 7th, and hopefully the governor will you know, make some qualifying decision that might get the golf courses open and the golf facilities open, the practice facilities open on May 8th. But we have to wait and see, and of course, well, as we wait for that, the golf courses are looking very healthy, and then the turf is looking very good, but we continue to lose competitions. Just this afternoon, the Mass Golf Organization announced the cancellation of this year's $75,000 Mass Open, set to be played out at one of the state's truly gem golf courses, which is Taconic, which is the Williams College-owned semi-private golf facility in Williamstown. So no Mass Open this year, guys. In June, we're talking June 15 to 17. No Mass Open, so I'm obviously concerned, as I may have mentioned last week, that we may also lose the Massachusetts Amateur Championship, which is about a month away beyond the Mass Open dates, mm-hmm. at Catansett down in Marion. So holding our breath that we won't lose any more competitions, and of course, you know, we lost a great name in golf last week, Doug Sanders.
Oh.
And you know, the PGA Tour, of course, hopes Tim to get going in early mid June, but I think we're still all holding our breath in all regards.
Yeah, you know, Gary, I was heading up to Market Basket in Seabrook this afternoon, noontime, and I drove by Old Newbury, and it just looked so lonesome. Driving by, as I come up, I saw the clubhouse, and there was no action, nobody out behind it. And I drove down a bit further, went by one of the fairways, and it was just empty. And I was like, oh, on any other given day, you know, each of those holes is active with one or two foursomes out there. And it just reminded me about what the tremendous toll that this has taken.
And it's, you know, it's a tremendous impact economically on the publics as well as the privates. And like we've said before, nothing like we've ever seen, hopefully nothing like we'll ever see, encounter again. Lots of jobs lost, lots of jobs furloughed. And, it's one thing if you're a tournament golfer and you want to play in some competitions, but just for us hackers who want to get out there and chase the ball, we can't do it yet, but we have to hope. But I'm not optimistic, guys, that the Governor Baker will make a positive decision in favor of golf as of May 7th. The big issues, as we've talked before, are an ability to test everybody, and the other thing, of course, is getting a vaccine created that everyone can get access to, and God knows when either of those two issues will be resolved. All these protesters in all the various parts of the country want all these states to go back in normal business. Well, they must not be thinking about how dangerous it would be to do so, and I'm afraid golf will look at it the same way. You know, the PGA Tour wants to get started in early mid-June, but that's not written in stone, and it's just a very painful waiting game. Particularly once May kicks in, it'll be very.
Looking at the way the numbers are still escalating in Massachusetts in terms of deaths, in terms of number of cases reported, Gary, you know, that May 4th return to school isn't looking very good either for the kids in Massachusetts. That, you know, it could be the next thing you hear is schools are just going to be shut down the rest of the year. They're going to have to live with distance learning till the end of school. And again, it's just another crimp in everybody's lifestyle. Now parents are really finding out what that 8-year-old is like all day long.
No, I don't think they're going to go back to school, and there's just too much risk involved. And I don't think we're going to get our golf courses and golf facilities open on May 8th either. I hope I'm wrong, but safety is still the number one priority here, and with things still, the numbers still surging in Massachusetts, guys.
Yep.
I mean, you know, what can we all do but just stay close to home and eliminate or at least minimize risk to any of us, no matter what our age, no matter what our vulnerability.
Well, we got to be patient. We got to be patient, and that's getting harder and harder for me, I'll tell you. Gary, I want to ask you a question, a little curveball here. I have always believed that sports writers and sports casters make the best newsmen, and that's no knock on newsmen because their livelihood, and God knows I love the reporters we have here, but in particular when going on the air, and I'm pointing to Jim. Oh, God, I can't think of his name now here. The ABC sports host, Jim, did the 76 Olympics.
Jim McKay
and Al Michaels. And they were involved in sporting events that became news events. You know, Jim McKay with the Munich Olympics and then Al Michaels with the earthquake. Were you ever involved in anything as a sports writer that you had to go cover as a news person?
Not really. You know, we covered, you know, deaths of prominent athletes or prominent coaches and stuff like that, but not really to the news side, which I'm glad to report. But I know it's a much more grim situation in many cases. And no, I can't say that I have. I ever had that experience in, you know, 25 years of the news and years beyond that. But I'm grateful I didn't have to deal with any
of that,
in a tragic nature.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. This is just so unprecedented and so weird that covering this stuff is just, it's beyond the pale in so many respects. So getting your stories now, you're still writing the column for the Salem News, and you want to tease that for this week?
Well, sure. Thanks for the opportunity. We've had a gentleman who's now 88 years of age named Paul Kelly Sr., Beverly boy, lived in Gloucester for several years, most years raising his family in Wenham, now lives in Topsfield. But he is, I'm writing about him this week because he's had an amazing life in radio sports sales and also with bringing golf to the masses. In a respect, he's put together radio networks to cover some very significant golfing events over the years on the North Shore and beyond. We're going to write about Paul Kelly this week and how vital a role golf has played in his successful career in sports broadcasting, and particularly on the radio side. And that'll be our big play this week.
Sounds good. I know. I look forward to reading about that because, you know, Bill Newell worked for Mr. Kelly for a while there. So looking forward to that. Gary, we got to go to our next interview. I want you to be safe, and we will do it again next week.
Let's do it again next week, guys. Look forward to it. Stay safe. Stay well.
And you as well. Thank you, Gary. Take care. All right, that's Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer, and coach. I'll check back in with you after we go to Bill's interview.
Oh, all right, I'll be here.
All right. Never mind. All right. I'll be right back. All right.
Fernando Braz, Peabody High's track coordinator, is with us during this time of no school, no track practices and all of that. But, Fernando, welcome. Thanks for joining us here on North Shore Sports Night.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Hope everything is well on your and your family.
Yeah, I think the last time we did see each other, Fernando, wasn't it the beginning of the winter track season? I think it was over there as they had the media day for the indoors with the basketball and different things. Yeah, that was the last time I guess I saw you at the beginning of the winter season.
That's correct.
Yeah. How did the winter season go, by the way, for you guys?
Well, we had a good year, Bill. Thanks for asking. We won the North Division in our dual meet season, and the boys, girls were second. And then our girls really peaked at the right time, Bill, and at the state meet. We had quite a top five finishes, and we had a relay team. The girls 4x2 won the D1 in the All-State, so we had quite the year, and so we had a good year. We really did, so we're very happy.
Hey, Fernando, I know what, of course, you were a Peabody High standout as well a number of years ago, but can you drop a name or two from the, this year's team?
Oh, absolutely. If you go to the boys, Antonio Cravero, he was the NEC athlete, Winter Athlete of the Year, Runner of the Year, Athlete of the Year, had a tremendous year, was second in Division I, fifth in the All-State, qualified for multiple events at the Nationals. And girls-wise, besides that relay team that we had, there were a freshman and three juniors. Jolene Murphy was second. Was second in the 300 to an outstanding the Beverly athlete. So she had a tremendous year, and I think she's ranked third, the third best time in New England and the 300 and so forth. So those two, basically Jolene is a junior and Antonio and the boys side had tremendous years for us and did a lot for the program.
Fernando, of course, now we're into the spring, and spring practices never did start, because of the school stoppage and so on, as we all know. But I captured something online just a week or two ago where you were running like a virtual workout or doing some kind of workouts. And I know maybe you can tell us a bit about that. It's kind of an aside from what you do with the high school, right?
That's right, Bill. Again, thank you. We do a summer 6-week speed and conditioning that we offer to all sports, whether it's football, baseball, soccer, and also in addition to that, we have a cross-country program as well that we offer. So what we did towards the end of March, the director of the website of our program and myself, we just wanted to do something to reach out at least to the membership that we've had for years with the program. And we offered an April month free of conditioning and speed and conditioning for any athlete, certainly in the secondary or middle school. But, as far as we're concerned, we'll still have a spring season if we go back on the 4th. So we offered an April speed and conditioning program for anyone that had been with us in the past. And I would say it's a 7:30 concept where 70 of it is on. We do the online version, just send out the workouts weekly based on profile information that we receive from the kids. And the other part is it is virtual for anybody who needs some specific advice or, a model of certain drills and stuff like that. So that's where we're at right now. If we don't go back, Bill, we look to do it again in May, offer it again, and I'm sure the model will change a little bit more virtual.
Do you think I could take advantage of that, Fernando? What do you think?
I know you can. As a matter of fact, we have a lot of the fans. You know what?
Well, why are you laughing like that?
Not because you bring out an interesting concept. That I know you, and I know you can certainly take advantage of it at the time. And the great thing about it, it's individualized where there is no grouping. There's no social. No need to have any social distance towards it. The parents are involved from the beginning, so they know what their daughter or son are getting. So if you wanted to take advantage of it from the adult model, you can certainly something you can do in your backyard, something you can do on the street, in your neighborhood, a trail, anywhere you can do it individually. So we're really excited about it. Most importantly, we're really good about hopefully sending out some help out some kids who are just, stuck in right now.
I'll ask my mom if she'll spring for that for me. That'd be nice if she would do that for me to enroll me in that. Yeah.
Listen, it doesn't cost you to enroll, and it doesn't cost you. It's a free. Remember, it's free for the month of April. So you got at least 2 weeks. You can test it out, Bill. And I know that hopefully you if we don't go back, you'd enroll. Why not? And I think you get an idea of what some of these young minds who are anxious to get out there and getting ready for the season, they're doing.
When I sprung that on you, you said individualize a plan, but it's a highly modified plan, I'm sure. Right? Hey, I got in here now that you're in coaching and you're in, you really look at this in a professional way. Tell me about go back to when you were a high school student and breaking all those records at Peabody High School and, what it was that made you, a great runner. And you were a great runner.
Well,
I mean, I guess what I'm asking you is try to combine what your thinking was back then and what your thinking is today, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, it really isn't. There isn't much of a difference, to be honest with you, because I was instilled the value of hard work and being associated with a support system that you trusted. And obviously, you know, for me, it started, and you'd like to think that, you know, 30 years, so many years later, that the athletes that we work with, first and foremost, trust us. The parents trust us. I trusted the process, and I trusted the support system that I had. And I think what brought me to, you know, exceeding levels each year was really because of the people that I was with. I found myself, Bill, not wanting to do well, and on the days that it was hard, on the days that I didn't know if I wanted to. I didn't know if I wanted to my senior year or do something else. But I found myself that I had an obligation to the support system that was involved in the climate that I was in regarding that. And it really, that's what brought it to, you know, the level that I reached. It was really because of the knowledge that I had in the group that I was with, whether it was my teammates, certainly our coaches, staff, and you know, I'll say that all the time. You know, George L. Smyrnius is the godfather of track and field in my eyes. And the values that he taught me, really, I can tell you that, you know, it's everything I use today. And I do mean everything from communication to balancing, you know, individuals' lifestyle and training. So yeah, that's really what got me there.
You know, I noticed the Salem News did a story, a group of stories. They continue to do this on some of the great Thanksgiving football games. Stick with me here, Fernando, where I'm going with this. But before you even mentioned George Smyrnios, I wanted to pick up on that because, you know, I go this and I've met a lot of coaches over the years here on the North Shore. And George was really unique. He was a very special coach and then later athletic director at Peabody. Terrific guy. You know, he'd always have a smile. He'd get a little chuckle. You know, always so nice. I mean, he must have been a great coach.
He was. He was an outstanding coach. And as a high school athlete, and I hope even today, people don't judge you or how good you are, X's and O's or anything, but judge you as a person. He was judged by me as a great man, a great father, a great husband. And his wife, Joanne, was, you know, just as important and involved in the whole process. She was the core, the support system for him, and he'll say that to you today. But he was a tremendous coach. He had a vision. He did things then that, you know, it took me 20 years to realize that what his foresight and his vision, he was well ahead of the curve. And he was able to plug in the athlete, but most importantly, the character of that person into the right mindset and the hard work that you required. So I always say about George Smyrnius, yeah, his legacy is his excellent. I mean, his wins and losses and so forth. But in all, I know I can speak for a lot of the former athletes or athletes that were with him. It was him, the person, him and his family that really got us to the next level. And he's had so many lawyers and doctors that have been in this program for 4 years, and you talk to them today, and they'll tell you that, you, like I do in track and my teaching career, I use those values.
Hey, this is my last question for you then, but, you know, take a look at Coach Smyrnios as a, you know, he must have been an outstanding motivator, but also an X and O's kind of guy as far as training and instructing a teacher. Tell me how he combined those two.
Sure. He used them with us, and that was really, it all started with responsibility and commitment. He would sit you down, and I know he did in the classroom as a teacher because I had him, and he would outline the goal and for you for that year. But it also, he was able to, in the classroom, if you were somebody that in his phys ed class you excelled a little bit more or not, he had the uncanny ability to compliment you and in a way that you would never felt like you were being ostracized from the group or that somebody else was felt like, you know, behind, so to speak, and emotionally, psychologically. And he carried that into his track and in his coaching career. We all felt that, you know, we were equal in ability, equal in a team support,
And again, it was very fortunate, or my siblings, or the so many outstanding runners in his era. When we got to the end, Bill, this was just like his classroom. When he would say, you know, you're a little better than the rest of them, but you're going to go places if you just, again, if you have a commitment. And his biggest thing was, you need to listen to me. If you listen to me and you trust me, okay, and you do these A, B, or C, you know, this is what the future could look. You know, if you're a classroom and you maintain your A's, you know, your choices of colleges are better than not. So, and he was able to do all that and combine that ability to make us all feel one. And even though there was obviously a discrepancy in abilities and so forth, but we all always felt like we were one. And I know from my end, when and some of the, like the Leslie Welches and the Lisa Welches of the world, and when we were, it was our time to shine, we were just, felt like we were just, there was a lot of humility behind it, because that's the thing that he drove a year round, and it was all about just being committed to it.
Gotcha. Hey, you know, thanks so much for sharing that. Clearly he put Peabody track, cross country and track on the map, and you're continuing it today, Fernando, with your team over there at the high school. But again, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us, and best of luck, and let's hope, you know, maybe there will be some kind of a track this spring. We'll see.
Let's hope so. I mean, you know, obviously at the end of the day, it's all about what's safety first, and we hope that it is. And Bill, I hopefully that by tomorrow you'll be signing up for the free program.
Yeah, I'll be online tapping away, logging in. Right now that I'll be for a long time. I'm gonna pick up the pace here. With Fernando Braz, I'm Bill Newell here on North Shore Sports Night.
All right, Bill, great stuff, and thank you to Coach Braz. Man, the legacy continues over there at Peabody High School. Okay, we're back now with Nick Kukuru, the Gloucester Times sports editor. Nick, how you doing?
Pretty good. How's it going?
We're doing all right. Tim, you were bringing up a question here that I was thinking about asking, and has to do with all the features that Nick's been running in the sports pages.
Yeah, in conjunction with the Salem News, these guys have been pulling out best teams over the past 10 years or so, and then the one today was kind of cool too. The teams that got closest to a state championship but didn't quite make it. Interesting take, because Nick picked last year's girls softball team. But Nick, how much fun was it, and how difficult was it to pick out some of the teams for these lists?
Yeah, so some of them were actually really hard. Some of them were not so hard. Like I was saying, I thought the Gloucester baseball decade team was going to be a really tough one, and it actually it kind of wasn't. I feel like there was kind of a real, you know, clear line from the elite players. As far as our favorites, that one was a tough one, too. There were a lot of close teams that almost, you know, won around here in the last, you know, the 13 years that I've been covering. But I really feel like last year's softball team really kind of stood out, just because, you know, that was a historic season. Nobody, you know, no girls program at Gloucester never got that far. So it was, you know, just kind of, that one kind of stood out above the rest for me, although there were a lot of good ones.
Tim, Nick, the features that you guys have been doing, obviously there's a dearth of local sports at the moment, you know, for obvious reasons. But the creativity that you guys are doing in terms of putting stuff together, what's it been like for the Brain Trust to get together? What's been the impetus? Were you guys getting your ideas for these stories? Because I'll tell you, they're very interesting. You've got all the names, all the numbers, all the kids, you know, feats back in there, and it takes some, I'm sure it takes some research, but tell me about the interplay among you sports writers in putting this stuff together.
Yeah, we're always kind of bouncing ideas off each other. That's a good thing, you know, myself and, you know, Phil and Matt Williams and, you know, Nick Keene, you know, at the Salem News, we pretty much cover the same, you know, geographical areas. You know, they don't cover Gloucester, Rockport, Manchester Ethics, but Gloucester, Rockport, Manchester Ethics play all the teams that they cover. So, you know, we're doing a lot of, you know, cross, you know, stuff. We collaborate on a lot of stuff. And, you know, now with, you know, no sports going on, we've had to get a little creative. But it's also been a fun opportunity, you know, to kind of, you know, look back and do some of these things.
Well, What's been some of the feedback that you've gotten anecdotally from people? Because if you have, because it's tough to get this right now. You're not out in the community like you usually would be, and you're always talking like Doc Enos, everywhere. You're seen everywhere. You are everywhere. But that's not happening right now. So how are you getting feedback or conversation, or are you?
Yeah, well, I've still been kind of in close contacts with some of the coaches and the administrators at the school, since there is kind of news breaking every so often. I'm sure there's going to be more coming, because they're going to have to make a decision on that May 4th date this week, I'd assume. So it's probably going to be more news coming down pretty soon. So I've kind of still been in touch with the coaches that I'd normally be in touch with anyways.
Have you talked with other people outside of high school, the high school community, like some of the former athletes, the alumni of Gloucester High School or Rockport, Manchester, whatever, in terms of this relationship of not having a spring season to this point? Because as Tim and I were talking about, and we have, it's got to be a tremendous blow, not only to the seniors, but also to their families. I mean, as a parent, God, you look forward to this so much, their senior year coming down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. It's true, and it's not, the seniors, of course, we feel for them the most because it's their last time, but it also, has a bit of an effect on the juniors as well, because those that, want to, play their sport at the next level, your junior year is a big year to get noticed, by the next level, and a lot of them aren't getting that opportunity either. But I mean, of course, first and foremost, I mean, it's got to be the season. They don't get the chance to, play their last season. You have to feel for them. It's terrible.
Oh yeah, Tim. Any final questions for Mr. Kukuru?
Well, listening to this last comment, that echoed perfectly what I had commented with Johnny Parisi about, and I mentioned last week. Is again, the juniors are kind of left outside of this equation, except for those of us who sort of know the way the process works, is that your junior year is the one that can really, that usually puts you on the map, unless you have a tremendous breakout senior year. But yeah, Nick, I agree. I think something's going to happen in terms of what will go down in terms of the school year, either later this week or at the earliest next week, because they've got to make a call. And in Massachusetts, there's no let-up to the uptick of the virus, and I can't see a May 4th date being viable.
Yeah, I feel like at this point, after that May 4th date does happen, I'd be really surprised, just based on what we've seen the last couple weeks.
All right, Nick, what's the next item of business on the agenda for the sport, the papers? You've been running these features, and they are spectacular, but I'm sure the well has not run dry.
Yeah, so I'm done with the all-decade stuff, so we'll see. I'm going to have some time to think of some other things, though, so coming down the pipe. We're still going to be running those Our Favorites columns every Monday. Those should be running for the foreseeable future.
All right, it sounds good. Nick, you and your family stay safe, and thanks for talking with us, and hopefully we'll see you at the ball field soon.
Definitely, hopefully. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Nick, thank you.
See you, Nick.
Take care. That is Nick Kukuru, who is the Gloucester Times sports editor, and I'm Rick Moore, along with Bill Newell, Bill Proposky, and, of course, Tim Kearns. Tim, any final thoughts?
Well, again, in order for us to defeat this virus and all, I'm not sure that we can actually defeat it just yet, but we have to adhere to the guidelines that are being set by those in the medical community. Is, stay separated, wear the mask, wear your gloves, avoid groups of people. Just, be smart, be intelligent, and don't give in to the fear, and don't give in to the hype by somebody who says liberate these states. Because all he's asking for is more sickness, more death. So be smarter than that.
Let's hope we get our sports back together here soon. Our guest talking with us this evening. Thank you for listening. Once you hit coach, the little one just cracks me up. Your family is awesome. John Parisi, the director of athletics at Rockport High School. Appreciate chatting with him. The great Fernando Braz, incredible athlete at Peabody High School, and just as an incredible a coach. And, of course, to Gary Larrabee, our resident golf historian, or golf writer and sports historian, and to Nick Kukuru, Gloucester Times sports editor, and of course to the great Tim Kearns. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Say what?
Oh, I just the great me. No. Those are words we don't use.
Okay, Coach. All right. That is Tim. Everybody stay safe and do the right thing. For all of these guys at MSO, I appreciate it. I'm Rick Moore. This is MSONewsSports.com.